You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you really want inside can only come from you. You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotel family, hope you are well today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do, hoping to. The weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, you know it had to get done. You know it had to get done. Knowing you, you got it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we love you and respect you and admire you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, just go online to timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, once again, this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. Mondays and Wednesdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson. Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson. On Thursdays, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., The Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursdays. Friday, if it's 8 p.m. and it's Friday, it's Time for an Awakening. Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney of Benton Harbor, Michigan. From 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday night at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Tayemba is ready to take another group of our people to the motherland. Africa for the Africans. He has just came back from Azania. His next trip is April 4th to April 14th, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. Tanzania, November 20th to December 1st, Tanzania. February 12th to February 23rd, Liberia. April 1st, that's 2026, family, I apologize. 2026. February 12th to February 23rd, 2026. April 1st to April 13th, Kemet. And so, brothers and sisters, go online to Africa for the Africans www.blacktalkradionetwork.org. Okay, and you can see for yourself. And everything that you need to take that trip of a lifetime is on that website. So if you're not going on a trip that he has scheduled, and you're out going, all the information is there. Visas, documentations, and so forth that you can download. All right, shots if you need them. Okay, family? And, of course, look at the other things that you can do. You can, you know, land that's for sale and invest it, you know, into communities in Ghana and elsewhere. So, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habeshaw. HabeshawIncorporated.org. Habeshaw. That's right. The 23rd celebration was Saturday the 1st. And they have done outstanding work. HabeshawIncorporated.org. Habeshaw is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. HabeshawIncorporated.org. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics, the LEDGE Group. The LEDGE, they deal in the area of the four essentials for human life, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 African countries with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The Minister of Wellness, Brother Nathaniel Jordan. I need to probably talk to Brother and see if the brother's back. Daniel Jordan has been in East Africa for quite a while. Has a lot of business going there. And of course, but go to his website, theministerofwellness.org. Theministerofwellness.org and the products that he sells and the videos that he has. Theministerofwellness.org. The website for Smy Pharmacy is not up. And I don't know why it's not up, you know, but it's not up. Yeah. It's my pharmacy. SMAISAFRMCY is not up. So, Moses West Foundation, the Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters, this man is doing great work providing water, which is essential for life, to any part of the world that is needed. And that's damn near everywhere. And it's a unique situation because he uses the atmospheric water generating concept, the technology. Water's in the air. H2O molecules are all around us. He has a machine that extracts them from the air into the machine. It goes through a filterization process. Open up the tap and out comes H2O. Clean, drinkable water. So, brothers and sisters, the Moses West Foundation. It designed and implemented the advanced atmospheric water generation technology to deliver sustainable water, sanitation, and hygiene solution globally, ensuring communities have reliable access to the resources essential for health and well-being. That's the Moses West Foundation. He has 9 missions in 4 countries serving right now. Over 6 million gallons of water produced for charity. That's why it's a good thing to support this brother and what he does. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta, in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. On weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, they serve vegan dishes. Other than that, they have all kind of have dry goods, smoothies, health foods, and so forth.
with Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, T-shirts, and so much more. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 9 and on Sunday from 12 to 6 at the Greenbrier Mall, the Medu Bookstore at the Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. Our other bookstore that we announce is Brother Kazimde Ajamu's Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of here. Jump on I-20, go east, exit 74, make a left. Now you're headed north, and about a mile and a half on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. You can give Brother Kazimde a call at 770-305-6373. That's 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Brothers and sisters, there is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your car and head back the other direction. You were going north, now you're going south. But still, when you get to I-20, you make a left. So you're still going east. And the next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take that exit. Three lights. At the third light, make a right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. All right. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. Not open on Mondays, but open from Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Located 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. For more information, contact my brother, Brother Abijah, at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. This brother's got it going on. He has everything in his establishment. I'm telling you, even a vegan restaurant. That's right. He sells everything, clothing, furniture. He does it all. Brother Abijah, the Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Yep. Sanjay Dash Haiti. Sister Gabriella really has been doing an outstanding job with young people in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. Go online to sanjay-haiti.org. 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 Ah, yeah. Baba Barudi Mama Yah at Akabin Institute. And, of course, you know, I always support them. And you can, too. You can support them by going online, or you can go to PayPal or Cash App. If you go to PayPal, yahbarudi@yahoo.com. If you do Cash App, $Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I. And, of course, if you want to check out the books that Baba Barudi, who was a prolific writer, go to Akabin House, A-K-O-B-A-N, akabinhouse.com. And check out the fine selection of books that Baba Barudi has produced. And one of them here we're going to go through right now. And that's the Inyasa Sim that we read every program. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 23rd. That is one of the paradoxes of human behavior, that the very things that shape us and make us behave the way we do, see the world the way we see it and relate to people the way we relate to them, are those things that occurred in our lives at points we cannot remember or recall. Dr. Nana Amos Wilson. Amos Wilson. Imagine lying in filth, disease, spittle, vomit, pus, slime, unimaginable excrements and bed sores, fleas, ringworm and lice. Imagine worms, maggots and bodily waste, maggots thriving in the bed sores on your back, arms and legs and head, and and the whips welts, and the wounds cut and kept open by metal cuffs locked to your wrists, ankles, and sometimes necks. Imagine these never-ending scratching, tearing through your skin wherever you could reach to get at the parasites and the disease infesting your body. Imagine sweat, tears, human and rat feces, blood, pieces of flesh, teeth, toenails, fingernails, hair, menstrual blood, aborted feces, broken water, dead babies after birth, screaming, moaning, and numbing pain, living bodies not moving for days. This is not fiction. It was the worst nightmare in humanity. It was raw, unrelenting horror. Only someone seeking to universalize and normalize European barbarities or to make our hell of a cost less tragic than it actually was would paint a picture that allows us to rest easy with our past as a mercilessly dehumanized, enslaved people. Affirm remembrance has awakened me to what must be done. Ashe. Affirm remembrance has awakened me to what must be done. It's real, family. February 24th. No one can truly defend democracy while fostering dictatorship and tyranny throughout the world. No judiciary system can fight against crime if the system itself is an umbrella to crime-related activities. A new handgun is produced every 20 seconds by the 922 gun manufacturers in this country. That comes to 3 handguns every minute, 180 every hour, 4,320 every day, 30,240 every week, nearly 130,000 every month, and over 1.5 million each year. Still, this does not speak to the 250 million plus legal handguns already in circulation or the untold number of illegal ones brought through underground markets or those prizes owned by veterans of European wars on the world. It does not speak to assault weapons, shotguns, rifles, grenade launchers, bazookas, attack helicopters, tanks, or handheld surface-to-air missiles. And last but not least, this legal handgun market in no way speaks to the thousands of individuals who know or millions who can easily learn how to make weapons. Guns, whether produced in factories or basements, are made by people using relatively simple technology, like the kind illustrated in the Anarchist Cookbook. What one man can make, another one can replicate. A mind focused on violence and destruction will surely find a way to this end. A people whose acele and cultural personality direct them to live, to conquer, and rule by armed force will become better and better at it as they practice against all others. Affirm, I clearly recognize the violent nature of Europeans, but not passively. Ashe. Affirm, I clearly recognize the violent nature of Europeans, but not passively. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sisim of Daily Revolutionary. Yeah. As we wind down this last week of African and American African History Month, it looks like history is repeating itself. And it always does, especially because we're not in control. We're here in America. America is dominated and controlled by Europeans, Caucasians, crackers, Urugu. And they're serious about it. And they're taking hold of it, their fascist nature. But that's what we're going to talk about today. Hope you can join this conversation. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. Globally. You know, I think that what Francis Cress Welsing said many years ago at a presentation that I saw her at with Mama Marimba Ani, she said she was in her kitchen and it came to her of why the European and in the seven areas of human, you know, racism is in all areas of people activity. And she said how it really came to her is that when Europeans went out and began to take everybody's stuff in the name of, you know, when they traveled and they hit some place, yeah, they may have come with a smiling face, but their motives and intentions were to take and destroy, eliminate. They're the only people on the planet that I know of, and rescue me if I'm wrong, that have exercised genocide. I ain't talking about the European Jews. That ain't no damn genocide. And I'm tired of that shit. I understand the suffering of people. But because of the European Jews have the ability, they control media, they control the voices. So it irks me. And for those you older, them really fragile European Jews who have withstood the ravages of their Holocaust or whatever, you know, I applaud them. And also I applaud them for never forget. But there are other humans on this planet that have suffered more tremendously than European Jews. And the most, and I look at it this way, family, the ones who have suffered the most is us. Because nothing happened to European Jews where they lost their identity. They lost who they were. They lost their memory. They lost their mores and ways of doing, their culture. They didn't lose none of that. We lost it all. It was taken from us by Europeans. We were stripped, reduced to a commodity. I'm sorry. In fact, I wish a European Jew would call up.
I doubt it.
And it's, I guess I saw some stuff on European Jews the other day, you know, and how they want to remember. And so, and that's great. I understand it's a healing process for everybody who has been victimized, you know. But one thing the European Jews should jump in the Germans' ass, because they're reviving fascism. The Conservative Party in Germany won. The Conservative Party in Italy won. Caucasians, the Conservative Party here in this country, they're doing Nazi salutes. Steve Bannon did a Nazi salute. Elon Musk did a Nazi salute. They ain't playing, but yet we think, we continue to think that we can somehow make these people understand that that mindset and that behavior is antithetic to human development. But they don't give a damn. Just like I said, Francis Cressy said, you know, when Europeans realized the offspring after raping those women didn't look like the offspring looked like them, it caused an innate fear in them of genetic annihilation. So Europeans said, whoever's going to run the world, it's going to be us. It's going to be us against the world. And whatever tactics we need to use, whether it's psychological, educational, or even coming down hard, we'll do. And they have done. That's why my contention is, of course, brothers and sisters, let's prepare ourselves. Let's educate ourselves to go home. I ain't talking about Mississippi. I ain't talking about no damn Georgia. I ain't talking about Cleveland. I'm talking about going home to Africa.
Well, Africans don't like us too. They don't want us.
Shut up with that shit. And Africans over there, the same damn thing. Y'all stop it. Stop it. It bothers the shit out of me that Africa still has many countries who are still willing to do the bidding for Europeans. Yes, I understand and I know what's going on in West Africa and proud of it, no doubt. Proud of Ghana waking up, proud of many other countries that are waking up. But the ones that need to wake up the most are the most strongest ones. And I just seen where the Democratic Republic of Congo is making a deal. Making a goddamn deal. Excuse me, family. With the United States. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah. The African dream. First you have Kagame in Rwanda. Now, you know, praise Rwanda for what it has done after the, you know, after the war with Burundi and the, and what happened there. But the European Union has negotiated with Rwanda, agreeing to give Rwanda about $935 million in return to access the minerals that are like tin and tungsten and gold that are in the Democratic Republic of Congo. President of the Congo said that the minerals are plundered by Rwanda from his country and called Europe's deal an absolute scandal, accusing the European Union of being complicit in the theft and looting of the Congo. It's so sad to read and watch all the atrocities going on in the Congo. It's even sad that the continent's leading union, the African Union, is doing almost nothing to end this inhumane disaster in the Congo. Despite being the world's wealthiest country in terms of natural when you look at the map of Africa, family, and we've talked about this on this program, and if let me just say this again, there's belief, and that could be and has been substantiated to some degree, whether you want to believe it or not, there was one huge landmass. One huge landmass. And over the millions and hundreds of millions of years, the tectonic plates under the ground began to shift and move and so forth. And these land masses began to separate. But the core of the land mass is Africa. When you look at the continents, and Europe ain't one. Get that straight. Europe is not a damn continent. That's the arrogance of Caucasians. The arrogance of Europeans. It's not a continent. Anyway, so you can fit those all around. You know, slide in there, slide in around Africa. And the core of Africa is the Democratic Republic of Congo. That right there is the richest landmass for all kind of precious minerals and all kind of strategic minerals. Everything is right there in the Congo. The Congo could surpass what the Arabs did in the desert of Saudi Arabia and creating the other countries of Oman and Qatar and United Arab Emirates as very filthy, rich countries based only on the commodity of oil, which, of course, has to be suppressed because oil is messing up the damn planet's atmosphere. Yeah. Family. Yeah, I know. I guess I'm a little worn. I must have too much coffee. No, family. That's not it. It's to me, it's a wake up when you see these Caucasians who around the world are reinstituting fascist activities and reinstituting imperialist activities and doing what they're doing. Germany is in what is Namibia, used to be Southwest Africa. Kick those damn Germans out. Kick everybody's ass out. All those places, particularly in Europe, they have no resources. None. They rely, especially France. So, let me finish reading that piece. Now, there's another piece to that. Congo, despite the world's wealthiest country in terms of natural resources, is home to the brutal wars and killings. A country that provides much of the world's coltan, which is used to power smartphones and computers, but its people live in abject poverty. A country that holds more than half of the world's cobalt reserves used in electric vehicles is plundered in mass exploitation by multinational corporations, governments, and criminals. When will Congo breathe fresh air? When will the children of Congo live a peaceful and happy life? When will the people of the Congo enjoy its vast mineral wealth? When will all of Africa come together and save Congo from this unlimited suffering? When will we, Rwanda and Congo, behave like brothers and not enemies? When will Uganda and Congo behave like brothers and not enemies? This is not that African dream we all dream of. Paul Kagame. Have some leadership, family. Is another piece of that I just mentioned. It's sickening. Just sickening. President Felix, I can't pronounce his last name, of the Democratic Republic of Congo, has reportedly offered the United States control over its... It's tough to read this shit. Offered United States control over its vast mineral resources to persuade Trump to send U.S. troops into the Congo. God. If this report coming in is true, then we can now categorically and point blank say the Congo is where it is today, not because of Western powers, but because of greed, selfish, and wicked democratic the Congo leaders. Like Mobutu Seki Seko. Because had Patrice Lumumba been allowed to live and supported, I think he could have been a catalyst. There's many other who could have been a catalyst for Africa being independent. Being united. How can you give away your country's resources worth trillions of dollars to the Americans in exchange for protection? Sad. Our leaders keep selling us out to Western powers in any given chance they get just for peanuts. We are doomed with leaders like Felix, bald-headed bastard. This is not the African dream we dream of. The African dream is seeing an African united under one umbrella, Ubuntu. Ubuntu. The African dream is seeing Africa free from imperialism and neocolonialism. The African dream is seeing Africa with leaders who have the spirit of Thomas Sankara, Patrice Lumumba, Amakal Cabral, and Kwame Nkrumah, Sekou Touré, Julius Nyerere. These are the leaders we need. The African dream. Oh, man, family. Family. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I know it's painful. It really is. It's painful. Knowing where we could and should be and knowing the fact that we're not is very painful. You know? You know, once again, we need education. We need education in that is controlled by us. We need to prepare our young men and young women to build Africa. To build Africa. We need brothers and sisters, if you're here in this country and you can learn engineering and you can learn sciences and so forth, you know, man, I wish I could find that one piece that Neil deGrasse Tyson talked about. Now, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, I like him, but I don't, you know, because he's not a...
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
You know, Neil deGrasse Tyson is not a Pan-Africanist. That's for damn sure, you know. But he's an American scientist, and he is that. And he understands how important it is that you deal with science, you know. And he's saying that if we would, you know, we deal with science. Man. And if we did that, boy, how much further along we would be. Got a caller. Good morning, caller. Or good afternoon, or good evening.
Grand Rising.
Hey,
great afternoon.
You too,
fantastic
dear brother.
Fantastic evening.
Yes, sir. For sure. So how you doing this week? You have a good weekend, Brother Paul?
Well, as long as I'm alive and I get to breathe another day, I always, Baba Ochi, have a great and fantastic session. You know, that's the way it is. It doesn't matter what the challenges I face.
Right.
You know, because the reality of it is no one goes without challenges, and it'd be too boring to bore you or the listeners with all the challenges I face on a daily basis. But the reality of the situation is that as long as I can get up and breathe another day, I'm going to just make of it everything I can make of it. And it's even a absolute pleasure to be able to interject on this so glorious platform with you, Baba Ochi.
I appreciate it, brother. Believe me, I do. Yes, sir.
So it's all good. Well, you know, I want to just push back slightly because you just reminded me of something, Baba Ochi. First of all, right, I don't know how you see Paul Kagame, the misleadership of that place called Rwanda.
Well,
how I see
Paul Kagame. Let me say this. If you are not aware and don't know the history, that's the thing. Our problem a lot of times is we don't know history. You know, we don't know how they came about. So if you don't know that and you see Paul Kagame and you see Rwanda, you're saying like, wow, what a great leader. It's the cleanest country, supposedly, on the continent. It's well organized. It's this, that, and the other, you know. And so, man, he's to be admired. And he needs to, what he has done should be replicated. All the other countries should be like it, you know, if you don't know the history. But if you know the history, then he's to be condemned. And if and of course, what he is doing in the Democratic Republic of Congo definitely should be condemned, along with the leader of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Felix, should be ousted, and somebody, because the Democratic Republic of Congo is where it sits, as I just explained earlier. When there was so-called one landmass, Pangaea, everything began to break off after hundreds of millions of years. No human life, no, none of that. No animal life for quite a few millions of years until later. All those other periods, the crustacean period, the Jurassic period, all that kind of thing. And then, you know, and then, of course, they all died off and all kinds of stuff like that. But the bottom line is Africa, the continent of Africa, is the center of that landmass. And it is the most wealthiest continent on the face of this earth in terms of mineral resources.
So, Bob Ochi, would you say Paul Kagame is a friend or foe?
He's a foe.
Okay, well, yeah. That's interesting, because you know, I'm going to refrain from using this term history for the sake of this argument, and because I don't think this terminology we use, history, it fully explains our story. So I'm just going to talk about our story, and when I refer to our story, I'm talking about the past, the present, and the future. Okay, so for the sake of clarity and good order, I'm going to say that Paul Kagame, from my own observation, is a very curious foe, and I'm not convinced he's our friend. Why I say that? Because one needs to understand and learn about the connection between him and the Tony Blair Foundation.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a massive connection there, mm-hmm. And it doesn't really work in our interests.
Who is Tony? I mean, who is Tony Blair?
Tony Blair used to be the Prime Minister of England.
Okay.
Tony Blair, the Prime Minister of England. Mm-hmm. Okay. And when he retired, he you know, they go on these tours, all these paid him £1 million to do a speak and all this nonsense. And they set up their foundation, just like the Clinton Foundation or the Gates Foundation or whatever nonsense they call themselves, which are really money making schemes to draw in money to prop up their agendas, persecute their agendas. And usually their agendas is to maintain power and control of the West and subjugate anybody else. You understand? So Tony Blair, who used to be the Prime Minister of the country, he has a foundation and he has a big connection down there in Rwanda. And it is not. And then again, when you look at him himself, Paul Kagame, as I understand it, he was trained in America, trained by the Europeans, came back. There's rumors and there's a lot of evidence suggests that he took out the last president of that country, who was the democratically elected president, by a ground to air missile and brought down the plane. And there's evidence that he worked along with the French to achieve that objective. So when you look at it, or when you put it all together, you realize that Europeans, the different foundations they set up when they come out of their political or political alliance, they work together. And it's not a coincidence that we've heard in this country, UK, we've heard for the last 3 years under the Conservative government that they wanted to send all illegal immigrants supposedly coming over on boats, right? Boats to the UK. They wanted to send them to Uganda. Rwanda, which is, for the last 3 years, we've been hearing this in this country via the Conservative government. As you know, the Conservative government are no longer in power, but we've been hearing this for the last 3 years while they were in power to send all these refugees, no matter where they come from, to Uganda. Now, as I understand it, millions and millions of pounds was spent in Uganda setting up all kind of operations and different type of housing, better housing than the people who live there receive, to send all these illegal immigrants to Rwanda. And it turns out, when one does an audit, that after 3 years of pushing out this rhetoric and this narrative and this absolute nonsense, that only one person gets ends up there, right? And they were told a long time ago it goes against international law. And it could never work. And even the Supreme Court told them that, but they still pushed ahead. So for me, I just think it's part and parcel of their money-making schemes, how they use these foundations and their connections to rob the taxpayer of his money under some false pretense, which they know was never going to work. Because remember, Tony Blair himself used to be a human rights lawyer as well. So he knows legality. And I think his wife is a human rights lawyer. So these people know what they're doing. You understand how they fleece the taxpayer and with these false narratives and this their propaganda to prop up their agenda, you know? So coming back to Rwanda and Paul Kagame, I think he's part of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, today I have a friend who went to Rwanda. I've known more of my brother's friend and I've known him for years. A really smart brother. Anytime I engage with that brother, always learn something new. But describe him more as a business type, a money-making type. He's about business, although his father was very conscious. But he goes there to look at his business opportunities, which is, you know, not a bad thing. But, you know, I'm into business, but I also have a strong interest in the people. You know what I mean? It's not for me just about making money. I have to think about the people and how they're being fleeced and exploited. Yes, you're right. He's told me that it's a clean country. It's a good country to do business in. It's in order. But there's the other side of it. Let me ask you another question, Baba Ocho. Do you know anybody who comes from Rwanda or the Congo?
No.
Okay. So again, one of my criticisms and on your side of the water for the platforms I hear, and it's quite a strong criticism. A lot of platforms I tune into. I don't think you really have people who are from the continent who've had to run for their lives. You know, young people especially in their 40s and 50s who come from different regions, come on these platforms and explain what's actually going on with their relatives back in those countries. And because that doesn't happen, sometimes I feel that we're not getting the true picture of what's really happening. We're not really getting, because we're not talking. If we say we're African, we have to talk with our brothers and sisters. We have to, and some of the things we hear, we're not going to like. And we're not going to accept some of the things they say, because I spent a lot of time engaging, and some of the things you hear are pretty painful. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard you mention about the tribal differences. Well, in reality, tribe, like the language you speak, is an English word. It's a very condescending word.
I hate the word. I don't use it. Right. I don't like it.
No.
Yeah.
But many people use it. And it's a word used to subjugate us and minimalize us. You understand? Mm-hmm. Africa had nations and, you know, great empires, just like everybody else, but they use the word tribe, the English, to subjugate and make us smaller than we are. So, you know, but in reality, right, the natural cause of any evolution on this planet, you're going to have competition. You're going to have competition. You're going to have genetic rivalry, because that's how genetics survive. It's got to challenge one another, yeah? So that it's not unusual with any group. And that happens in Africa. You have these differences. And so what I'm saying is, when you hear some of our brothers and sisters speak from the continent. Mm-hmm. These challenges are today very real. It's not something we are going to say, oh, let's all get together, and it's not going to work like that. It's like, if you don't get on with your wife, right, for whatever reason, you know, whatever reason you don't get on with your wife, and I come and say, well, you're going to have to live together, you're going to look at me like I'm crazy.
Right.
Oh, you're fighting every day, you're arguing every day, you know what I mean? You know, I don't know where it's going to go, and I'm telling you, yeah, you're going to have to live together. Yeah, just don't worry about it, live together. No one's going to accept that. No one. So, you know, this idea that we're just going to have to live, it's not going to work like that. And when you speak to our brothers and sisters, you quickly realize how deep this thing runs. And this is not because of ignorance. These are real problems and real differences going on. And Paul Kagame is exploiting those differences to the maximum with these European alliances. That's what's happening. Mm. And he's exploiting them for the benefits of financial gain. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, people are suffering. And, you know, so when you hear people who have fled those regions, Congo, explain about who the Tutsis are and the other ones, the other groups, and how they came into these regions, and explain it. It's really eye-opening.
Man, the suffering of our people, man. No, I agree with that. And to me, I'm hoping that in an expedient manner, that what's happening in West Africa, which is Sahel, that begins to catch fire and puts pressure on leaders of certain countries, that if they don't lead in the right way, they ass should be ousted. Because if there's nothing more clear to us that Africa, has Kwame Nkrumah said it, has all the righteous leaders and righteous Africans on this planet has said it, needs to unify. That the organization, the Pan-African Federalist Movement, states to unify Africa. You know, how convenient it was for these Europeans to carve up Africa, the boundaries that you see. How convenient it was to say that these now, after they did it at the Berlin Conference in 1874-75, and then they started gaining independence in the late 50s and 60s, all throughout the 60s and even to the 70s, that these are independent, sovereign nations is bullshit, because many of them are still tied. It's just like, you know, as I just mentioned earlier, I don't know if you heard that about the German government is now once again a right-wing fascist government, and the Germans have been in Northwest Africa or Namibia again. The Germans have been back there for some time, and that's how they can get some money and resources to do what they have to do. And I'm saying that the years of colonialism and neocolonialism must end now. You know, listen, I'm going to take a break, Brother Paul. You stay with us, okay? I'm going to take a break. And, man, you know, the rise of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is real. It's on a serious rise. And us, we ain't doing a damn thing about it. And a lot of us ain't even saying nothing about it because we rely on this system to do something. And that's ridiculous. Yeah, we'll be right back, Brother Paul. And be back for all the other brothers and sisters out there. Stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com. And blacktalkradionetwork.com. Roberta Flack passed. Roberta Flack passed. She was 80. Was she 88 years old? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And so we're going to pay a tribute to Roberta Flack. And now she's passed. She can get back with Donny Hathaway, back together again. You know, many of the great songs she had with Donny Hathaway, The Closer I Get to You. Man, just beautiful.
Roberta Flack, just a beautiful voice, a beautiful person, I'm quite sure. And so, and here is once again, family, you know, Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
You and I.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Roberta Flack and Donnie Hathaway back together again. So many great tunes that they collaborated on, and she collaborated with many others. She was a beautiful voice, a great voice. In fact, Les McCann and Eddie Harris, he said, when I heard her voice, she just inspired me tremendously. Yeah, just a great voice. Les McCann discovered Roberta Flack singing and playing jazz in the D.C. nightclub. He later said on the linear notes of what would be her first album, First Take, noted, her voice touched, tapped, trapped, and kicked every emotion I've ever known. I laughed, I cried, I screamed for more. She alone had the voice. Yeah, she did. Roberta Flack family passed away at 88 years old. Her birthday, she just had a birthday. Her birthday is this month. Yeah. February 10th. She was born in Black Mountain, North Carolina, and she passed away yesterday, or today, at 88 years old. Back together again. Let's get back to the subject at hand, you know. And we're talking today European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is always here. Always, as long as Caucasians are here, that will be here. This is Francis Cress Welsing said, it's in everything they do. Everything they do. And we have somehow believed that we can, you know, through our redemptive struggle, appeal to their moral nature. Man. So I'm saying, family, the direction that we need to go is purge ourselves of this ignorance and this stupidity and embrace our culture, embrace who we are as African people, and begin to educate, particularly our young, for the future, for us on the continent to control the land, to control the resources. If we don't, we will die. We will perish. I know we have a huge population globally. We're not a minority, never have been. The real true minority on the planet is Europeans. But Europeans are committed for their survival at any cost, and whatever they have to do. And not just their survival, but their place at the top of decision making of what happens on this planet. Who lives, who dies? And who dies is us. Got a number of callers here. If you want to get in on this conversation, the rise of white supremacy. Once again, the rise of white supremacy. It's always been there. Once again, in this overt state, what's happening in Europe, Italy, right wing, Germany now, a few others. You know? Nah. This country, this place is sick. Giving high Hitler salutes. They're emboldened. They ain't hiding a damn thing. Good afternoon, Brother Irv. What's happening, man? How you doing, dear brother?
I'm doing good, Baboshi. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Baboshi, you always have a very stimulating conversation. You always have something that makes me And I know other people that call, they think the same way. When you say things, you want to respond immediately. And then you and you move on to something else.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And just, we stay there, but it's just, I'm telling you, brother, one day we're going to have a round table.
Sounds
where
good
everyone
to me.
Can,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sounds, yeah, where everyone can just respond
impulsively
when you hear something that that brings my, 'cause I'm telling you, Baba Oshie, when you and Paul talked about the word tribe. Tribe is a word that separates us.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's just like when
my
here
tribe.
In the country. We,
yeah.
Yeah.
My
yeah,
clique.
We, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
It
right.
separates us. And anything that separates our Africans, even in the diaspora, in the continent, and wherever, it's something that I don't approve of because we are, it's one Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there.
Right.
We just have to understand how important it is. I think some people believe that the Erugu that we're dealing with is someone that can be, he can be brought over to the other side. He can be, you can coerce him or you can just convince him that it's going to be, we're going to be we all together. And all we got to do is just keep protesting and marching. And the reality is Erugu lives by the sword and dies by it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they just this fool that's running the country, the fool that's in the White House, he just they just had his minions fire the only African, I guess he called himself African American, on the chiefs of staff,
right, the
Joint
Chiefs
of Staff. The only black person was fired, and they said that as if I'm going to be upset. And I am anytime an African, something happens to an African, whether he's conscious or not, I have a problem with it because it's blatant racism. But the reality is Donald Trump could have told that general to take five so-called Negroes out back and shoot him. And he'd have said, which five you want me to take? Because this is how brainwashed we've been in this country to I love this country. And when I'll do whatever it takes so this country can keep going the way it's going, because I'm getting back to the individualism, Bob Oshie, I ain't doing all right. My family is okay. You know, I got a car to drive and a place to stay. And so when you get into that individualism, you can justify all the foolishness that you do to your people because you don't have any people. It's just you. It's me. I got to make sure I get mine. Bruh, you know, I can't do nothing for you till I take care of me. But see, Malcolm didn't say that. Malcolm said, we can't help other people until we take care of us.
Right.
See, and that's the difference. It was never an I thing. It's always been a we thing. And that's what, when an American African does something that Caucasians like, they don't contribute it to the way the person was brought up. It does. They don't contribute it to the people that were around him, the other American Africans that taught this person. And this person is the manifestation of that. This is the end of all that. But they never say that. They say Michael Jackson was good. Well, what about Michael Jackson's father? Beyonce was good. What about Beyonce's father?
Mm.
What about Beyonce's family and support group? So the reality is, Baba Oshie, I've never done this by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been... I'll be all right. And then once I get there, I'll come back and get y'all. No, I'm taking y'all with me
I
go.
Right.
I see people that I don't know, listen to them speak. And Baba, this is about your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I believe the purge the herd. I believe the weak ones will get left. I believe the strong ones will lead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're seeing now. You're seeing, I mean, you look at this little protest at the Super Bowl when the guy protested at halftime. Kendrick Lamar, he did a protest. And why did he do that? He had the world stage. Man, he could have did the moonwalk. Couldn't he? He could have did pop locking. He could have put down some cardboard and did some break dancing. But he didn't. All the women had on clothes.
Mm-hmm.
No booties. And I mean, last time I looked at it, Mary J. Blige was out there 50 years old, looked like she had drawers on. but Dr. Dre had all his clothes on, and Snoop had all his clothes on. But the woman... was used as an object because
exactly.
That's what this culture does.
That's right.
This
that's
culture,
what it does.
They don't. White men don't like women. They don't. They want to be women. So
So my point is, and you know, it's a whole lot more we could talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I'm making is, Baba Ocean, this boy didn't take, that show was terrible. Of course it was terrible, because you didn't understand it. Anything you don't understand, you deem, just like when you went into Africa and you didn't understand what they were saying, so they were stupid. Oh, y'all stupid. We stupid? Yeah, y'all stupid. I'm going to give y'all something, some religion, so y'all can stop being savages. Here, these people lived in buildings. They had irrigation, the astronomy, the whole get-up, but they were stupid because Urugu didn't understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way in this country. When you don't understand something, it's stupid. At the halftime show, it didn't make no sense at all. Because you didn't understand it, brother.
Right.
Understand? Oh, man. Just like in the 60s, when the brothers were Afrocentric, they wore afros and dashikis, and they were trying to learn any native language that comes out of Africa. Mm-hmm. Man, y'all stupid. Why are we stupid? Why are y'all trying to learn that you're American? What? I'm American, okay.
Right.
And when I came through Ellis Island, they let me in. No, I didn't come through Ellis Island, Baba Oshi. I came over here in the belly of a ship.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the manifestation of that. This is what happens when you subjugate a people for centuries. When you put them, this is what you get. You get you're an angry black man. I'm not angry. I'm smarter than that. Anger is an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm smarter than just to be angry.
Well, I have righteous rage. I'm going to tell you, brother, I have righteous rage. Believe me, I do. I recognize what has happened and what is happening, and I am angry about it, and I'm pissed about it. And I put the blame where it squarely belongs. Yes, we're culpable. Yes, because, for us to get out of this insanity and this madness, that is our responsibility. We cannot look towards and beg the people that put us in it to get us out of it, because it's not in their benefit for them to do so, but it is ours. And we need each other to do it. That's the thing. We need each other to do it. And some of us don't want to do it. They'd rather live comfortably. You know, they believe comfortably in Urugu's reality, as opposed to defining it and shaping it and fashioning it in your image and in your interests. So, yeah.
No, but you know what, brother? This is the price of admission. When you comment on anything that I say, I feel honored that you even comment, first of all. But when you do comment, it gives me perspective. It makes me think different the way, not from, we think similar, but we don't think exactly alike. So when you comment, I learn. Because now I'm thinking about what you said, and you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. We have the illusion of inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It is that we're doing good. But in actuality, Baba Oshi,
mm-hmm.
when I saw all those millionaires, Bezos and all them cats sitting around this boy, this the president, I didn't see any black billionaires sitting behind him. Did you? There were no one that had any melanin in their skin. Bezos, I think he might have something going on with him. But my point is, we're not included when it comes to making the decisions that's going to affect millions of people. American Africans are not included in that. We're not included in the decision making. And you think about it, Bob Oshie, when you were in the fire department, when you were a blue shirt for anyone who doesn't understand, is a subordinate. When you just get in, everybody can tell you what to do because you just got in the fire department. But once you made some type of rank and got up to a captain level, you started making decisions.
Right.
And when you make decisions, then all of a sudden you important. Well, why can't we make decisions? Well, you know, in Urugu's, he's not going to give, especially the ones that's in now, he's not going to give an American African any type of decision making, any real decision making. No, we saw all the runaway slaves up at the White House on Black History Month, he had something where he gave Tiger Woods an award, and we saw all the runaway slaves up there cheesing and laughing and dancing, and whatever he did, they was just so glad to be there. And I don't understand what gets into an American African's head when he feels as though he has to buck dance and perform for this Caucasian to get these butter, they call them butter biscuits, because that's basically what they were getting. They were getting a feeling. They were Baba Oshi. You can look into the eyes of these of these American Africans, and you can tell they were hurting. They were sad. They really were sad because they understand that as long as I keep jumping up and down, Irugu is going to pay me some attention. But as soon as I hurt myself or I can't, it's like a basketball player. Right. He's the baddest thing on the planet until he breaks his leg.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden, we don't need you. We're going to break this toy. We don't need it anymore. It's already broken. We don't need it. We'll get another one. And that's what these American Africans don't understand. You're fine as long as you can do the dance. But once you stop or get tired or don't do it like you used to, get rid of him and get me another one. And that's what Irugu has done with all the American Africans in this country. Once they don't need them anymore, they discard them. They'll use you, and then they'll straight get rid of you because we don't need you anymore.
That's right.
And that's what I think they're starting to realize that, because Biden did it, but he rubs you on the head while at the same time he was supporting France, who's colonizing my homeland. You know, at the same time, he was supporting, and you can't tell me he didn't know what was going on in Africa.
Right.
They all do. That's why they sent Kamala over there with her homosexual Bible so that she can push that on them so that they can be more like Americans. But now you have a president who is about as smart as a bag of potato chips, and he thinks he can strong arm his way into anything he wants, or with fear. You know, or confusion. It's fear, confusion, and the strong arm method. I'm going to talk tough. I'm going to confuse you. Because Baba Oshi, think about it. This white man has put in 200 and some executive orders or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why so many, Baba Oshi? It's called confusion. Yeah. We just keep bombarding them. And then they don't know what to grab at. And then the next thing you know, we've gotten everything that we want, and they are sitting here wondering how it happened because of confusion.
Right.
Robert Olson says, no. So we're living in a state of hypocrisy, confusion. And it ain't nothing new, Baba Oshi. This if white folks got a cold, black people got pneumonia.
That's for damn sure.
You know, we've been through this. We've been through worse than this. It was a time where white folks could just get up on Friday and wait till the sun go down and just go down the road and grab any black person they want. They can't do that now, but what they've done, they've grabbed your mind, so they don't have to grab you anymore because you appear not to be fighting. But Baba Oshi, there's some. I'm gonna stop after this, Baba Oshi. Someone else can get on. But if there are American Africans out here, like yourself, like me, and others, we are doing the work. But we don't have to. We're not gonna get on this radio and tell everybody what we're doing and what time the meeting is. And this is what we. No, that's what John Brown did. So he got on the internet and told everybody. We're not doing that. Well, they didn't have no internet back then. Okay, well, whatever. But my point is. We're not going to tell them what we're doing.
Right.
It's happening right now. Ibrahim Traoré, the three kings, it's happening right now. They're growing their own food. They have their own tomato factory. They have their own pasta factory. They make their own car. They do their own gold. It's happening right now.
And that's the motto. And all over Africa, it should be happening in that way. And if it's not, why not? And if there's some impediments to it, what are they? Correct them. Let's move in the right direction.
Yes.
It has to happen.
Yes.
All right, dear brother. All
brother,
right.
I'm listening, bro.
Okay, my brother.
Thank you.
Peace.
Yes. Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Yes, brother Orshay.
God, it's brother Marcus, my brother. How are you, man? How you been?
I am here.
Good.
I'm here, my brother. I'm here. And greetings to Brother Irv and Brother Paul up there over the pond.
Yes, sir.
Look, them white people are finished. Them blood clad finished, my brother. You ain't no way to save them. Trump is the last hope for them. He's the last hope for the ass, I'm telling you. You see, it depends on whose eyes you see the world through. If you see the world through white eyes, you see, it look dismal. Yes, it look dismal. But if you see the world through black eyes, which that is the eyes I see the world through.
Right.
It's a glorious future for black people. These people on their way out. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir. Yes,
but
sir.
He's a dying tiger. You see, he's a dying tiger. And the dying tiger is the most dangerous animal in the forest or the savannah. Because you see, he know he's dying. So he want to bring as much people with him on his journey to death. You see, I really hope they find a place in Mars, you know, where Elon Musk is trying to go. I'll help them pack. Say, look, how come? Hey, I'll pack. I'll volunteer. I'll help them pack. But these people here, they're finished. I'm telling you, this empire here is going down. But our people have, you see, even a rat will escape a sinking ship. Mm-hmm. See? When all else fail to organize the people, conditions will. You see, our people were comfortable, you know. They were given a sense of false pretense of being comfortable. Yeah, I had my little government job. You know, a lot of these people, too, what they were, gatekeepers. They were the bully.
Yeah.
You see, they were keeping the gate. They were blocking the thing. Mm-hmm. Now, Trump come out with the sword and
cut them off.
Cut their legs off because they thought, oh, everything all right, what you talking about? I'm good, you know? So now these same people, they are going to become the biggest advocates for Africa. You see, our African people, because now they're going to feel some hunger pains. They're going to be on the cheese line. So some of these people, I don't really feel sorry for them. I'm not telling the truth because they were comfortable, brother. When you tell them about Africa and black back to Africa, and what are you talking? We don't want to hear that stuff, man. Yeah, you're talking that, yep, but you ain't got no money in your pocket. All right. Hey, welcome to the line. You're here with me now. What you say now? So look, hey. I say, if you see the world through white eyes, yeah, it's a bad situation.
That's right.
But I don't look at the world through white eyes. I look at the world through black eyes. And I see Africa is rising.
Yes.
We just got to get into that step mode with our people. We just got to get into the step mode. And I tell you something, too. This African here and in this side of the planet, this African here, especially here in America, is the most detribalized African on the planet, you know. This black man here and black woman here in America, especially America. And I tell you why. You see, I remember when I was coming from Jamaica, right? And I went to the U.S. Embassy. And they do this to a lot of Africans coming, a lot of black people coming here. They poison your mind. The first thing they say to you is, hey, you see them black people over there? Don't associate with them. They're lazy. That's the first thing they say. They don't want to work. You know, they're shiftless. Why? Because they don't want to make that connection. They don't want us to make that connection because they know anyhow we make that connection, they finish. You see, so they have to drive that wedge between us. They did it, you know. I know people coming from Africa. So say, you know what they tell us, you know? They say, don't mix up with the black people here. I say, yeah, they told me the same thing, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But look, the dance is over. The party is over.
That's right.
These people, they're going to turn on themselves. They're going to turn on themselves. And what you see happening in Europe, they're going to turn on themselves because what happened to Adolf Hitler? Them gone in the ashes of history. Them gone. You see, this is their last stand. This is their last stand. We just got to give them some distance. Give them some distance because they want to take as much people with them on their journey to death.
To death. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I pause and listen.
I say, thank you so much. Brother Marcus, appreciate you, my brother. Peace to you, my
indeed.
Friend. Yes, indeed. All right. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brother Luss, Brother Ted Luss, how you doing, dear friend?
Good morning. Good morning, Bubba Oshie and all the rest of the listeners on the phone. doing some multitasking, but I'm listening.
I appreciate
it. Because of the fact that this Friday that's coming up, I'm kind of curious on how things are going to pan out with all of the economic boycott that's going to be in place. I'm curious.
Okay.
To see what direction that we're going to be going in.
Okay.
Are we going to, you know?
I think that, you know, some of the boycotts that we have had because of how we are, I don't think they are as effective as they were when we didn't have the mass communications that we have today. You would think that it would be easier for to do that because of the mass communications, that people could get this information, they can learn more about it, as opposed to back in the day when you were basically notified by a leaflet or something in a black newspaper and maybe a phone call, you know. And we definitely didn't, although we did have party lines way back in the day, because I know back when I was young, we had a party line next to our house. It was a phone booth. But anyway, the thing is this. We think of ourselves individually. Individualism is a European, Caucasian, white desire. Collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must to be collective. Europeans don't, and so we've embraced that individualism. So, I mean, yeah, okay, they're boycotting that, but I'm doing my thing. You know, I got me a nice job. I'm living over here. My kids go to this school and so forth. And so, you know, I ain't with that, you know. But imagine if a good fraction, a third of us, that's a good fraction, 30%, 33% of us really did boycott. It would tremendously hurt Walmart, Target, whoever else, that we to decide that that's what we're going to do. But, you know, I don't see it happening. It's just like back in Milwaukee, we were boycotting a hair care product place. Because, you know, most of the hair care product places are owned by Koreans, you know.
Right.
And so this sister, pregnant sister, was mistreated, you know. And so we boycotted, and we was a few on the line, and I was out there marching with them. And so what you would see sometimes, the brothers and sisters would drive by. They wouldn't cross the line because we might say a few things to them, but they would drive by and wait till we're done, and then they would go in because they could get save a dollar on hair, you know, on some weave, you know, or a product or two, you know. So was it effective? It was effective to the term that we did come to a discussion about what happened. I wasn't part of that. I wasn't a part of that, but that was cool, you know. But still, if we do something, whatever we do, we need to do it collectively is my point, you know, and it must be sincere and committed for the ultimate outcome to be what it should be. But we'll see, man.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see, Brother Ted.
Definitely see.
Yep.
Still listening and learning. Thank you for picking my call, brother.
Always, dear brother. Peace to you.
Peace.
Good afternoon. What's up, man? How you doing, Jay?
Oh man, it's a sad day, brother. It's a sad day. Did you hear we lost Roberta Flack today?
Oh yeah, man. I paid. Of course, I played Back Together Again. Since Roberta passed and Donnie Ben passed, so they're back together again, you know. Yeah.
Hey man, I saw her in concert a numerous of times, man. That woman could bring a grown man to tears.
No, she's beautiful. She's a beautiful spirit, a beautiful
she
voice.
She was a special person, man.
Yeah.
And I know the ancestors are glad to have her, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, to welcome her into the ancestor realm. No doubt. And she deserves to be there.
I didn't know she was that old. I didn't know she was
88 years old. Her birthday was this month.
She lived a great life, man.
Yeah.
A great life. to be able to do all of the things that she did.
Mm-hmm.
We just gotta, you know, thank the ancestors for giving us someone like her, man.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, the thing that always gets me is when you look at the music today, man, it's hard to find artists with the type of spirits that she had, man. She was just a remarkable singer, man, writer, and all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and she was responsible for, you know, some really great male singers elevating into a higher plane,
mm-hmm.
like Luther and Donny Hathaway, man.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get no better to be associated with Luther and Donny Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, man, what's happening, man? The same old, it looks like the same old caca. The country is going to hell. Slowly,
yeah, well,
in a hand basket.
Well,
I'm glad for it.
Today's topic was the once again rise of white supremacy. You got that across the world. You got Germany. You know, they once again elected a very right-wing conservative fascist government. They're going to have. You got it in Italy, all across. You got it here. Europeans, Caucasians, exerting themselves, you know, and punishing the planet.
You know, Ochi, quiet is kept. Whiteness in this country is getting a hell of a wake-up call. Because a lot of these people that this clown Musk is getting rid of is white folks. There's not as many blacks as one would think was going to be getting rid of because of so-called DEI. Because, you know, as quiet as kept, a lot of white folks benefited from DEI. And more than black folks.
Of course.
It's the truth you told.
Of course, but, you know, we know that. And at least those who are intelligent enough and astute enough to know that. That's the fact. It's just like affirmative action. The biggest beneficiaries was Caucasian women. In DEI, the biggest beneficiary still. Well, there's other. The homosexuals benefited from DEI. DEI, in fact, one sister talked about where we fit in as a beneficiary of DEI was damn near at the bottom of it, you know.
Yeah.
But yet,
in no position,
right? But yet, the face of it, when they talked about it, it was our face.
Yes,
and that we were unqualified. These are DEI hires, as they put it. You know, here's a black person who is in a position of authority, or he must be a DEI hire, and which basically saying that black and unqualified, that we had to have these numbers, you know?
Yeah. But it's the white folks who have benefited from it, and now they go pay the piper because of it. So me, myself, personally, I just laugh at it. I think it's quite comical if the truth be told, because they're now in a situation to where as they're going to have to be held accountable. And you know, a cracker never wants to be held accountable, bro. That ain't even in his nature. But in this situation, in scenario, they're going to have to be held accountable because they're the face of it. They're the ones in the position that, fortunately, indiscriminately, he's saying, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. So now they upset about it. Now they questioning, and they're not saying it honestly. Well, why am I going and the niggas ain't going? You know, the niggas are, what's happening with the niggas? How you letting me go before a nigga and you talking about DEI? It's a strange, strange world.
Yeah.
But lastly, I see MSNBC buckled under the pressure
of
that devil and got rid of Joy Ann Reid.
Yeah.
Now, I could take her or leave her myself personally, But my whole thing is now what you gonna do? If you supposedly have all of these people who love you and who sit on your word, don't you think it's time to do like my man Roland do?
Mm-hmm.
You need to put together your own shit.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There needs to be a consortium.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
So-called sycophant Negro peen media people who come together and build their own goddamn network.
Sure, I agree.
They could build it right there with Roland and his thing.
Mm-hmm.
They could build it on YouTube. They could build it on Rumble. Sure. There are absolutely outlets available for them to build.
I tell you, I would be in favor of maybe not necessarily Roland and her, who have been established individuals. By that I mean they've been a part of the establishment of this system and its media, and they've done very well monetarily because of that, you know. And they've had good voices. I enjoy at times listening to Joy, you know. I used to listen to Roland, and Roland still comes on syndication, a little piece that he does on one of the radio stations here in Atlanta, you know. But now, in honesty, they're more apologists. They're not Pan-Africanists, and I'm a Pan-Africanist.
Well, you know? Pan-Africanism, listen, bro, let's be honest. Pan-Africanism does not sell. This is
Jay, hold on. I understand that. Believe me, I do. But I ain't about selling. Damn selling. It ain't about selling so therefore you have a more comfortable life and you have more ability to have more material things. No, it is about the very existence of African people. There is no ifs, ands, or damn buts about it. The only way, and all the brothers and sisters from hundreds of years ago said the same thing, and we're still saying it today, that's the only way is African unity, Pan-Africanism, or perish. Unify or die. Ralph?
As my boy Ralph says all the time, unify or die, where the caskets at. The bottom line is this system is not geared for Pan-Africanism.
That's now, why you got to get out of it. That's why you got to get out of it, Jay.
Damn this system. Pan-Africanism is what should be the way forward. But you have to sprinkle Pan-Africanism into the game that's being played. Now, every now and then, I will say this. Martin will drop a Pan-African jewel in a contextual form. So that's why I deal with them. But the reality is the average black person don't give a damn about Pan-Africanism. Don't even know what Pan-Africanism is. These are Negro peas who believe in the system. And unfortunately, what is happening now is they're getting their nigga wake-up call.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Right.
I believe that it's the way that they should be treated because they too busy buck dancing, cooning, shuffling, and all of the other unnecessary things that their black asses need to be doing.
All right,
but listen,
Bray. All right, bro.
Take somebody else.
All right, bro.
But as my man Ralph says all the time, unify or die. And where the caskets at.
All right, bro.
My brother.
Peace. Good afternoon, Brother Muhammad. How you doing? Assalamu alaikum.
Well, salam, Oshie.
All right, dear brother.
I apologize for my intrusion.
That's no intrusion. It's a talk show.
well, just from the contextual standpoint, I just wanted to, I waited to this point in time out of respect, but I wanted to have an opportunity to announce the passing of a cultural, I don't even say icon or national treasure.
Oh, yeah.
Roberta Cleopatra Flack.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about that. In fact, I knew about that prior to coming on the program, and so right away, the music I was going to play, I switched that up, and first thing I thought about that now she has passed, so she's back together again with Donny Hathaway, and so that's the piece we played.
If you had time, I would sit on my knees and beg you to play "Trying Times."
What's the name of it?
"Trying Times."
"Trying Times." "Trying Times." Yeah. Oh yeah. Wow! Okay.
we living in trying times.
Yeah.
And when you listen to the song "Trying Times" mm-hmm. by Roberta Flack, it's as contemporary as today as it was when she said it in the '70s.
Mm.
Beautiful song and very, very, as Gamble and Huff say, we have a message in our music, and it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be interpreted by anybody.
Right. Yep.
So yeah, I just wanted to memorialize our sister. I had a chance to see her once in Milwaukee, and it was a treasure.
And you said the music was "Trying Times."
Man, I'm almost Oshie. I can't believe you. I'm not that much older than you. "Trying Times" by Roberta Flack is worthy of an anthem.
Mm. Okay. I'm gonna look.
Jump on YouTube as soon as you get off.
Yep.
And if I've been in error, call me. I'll apologize on my knees.
All right, now, brother, I'm gonna try to find "Trying Times," and hopefully I get a chance to play it for our family here.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anybody would be disappointed in the message.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
Certain things you can't take messages. It's a universal message.
Mm-hmm.
You can't miss it. If you missed it, then you're not awake.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Brother. All right, dear brother. Always, Brother Muhammad. Yes, peace to you, my friend. All right. Yeah. "Trying Times."
Baba Oshie.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir, brother Earl.
Yeah. I don't mean to break that, but Baba Oshie, I just wanted to say what I love about Roberta Flack. Was that every time I saw her, she rocked her afro.
Remember,
you notice that?
Yeah.
Always rocked her afro.
Yep.
And that drew me to her, man. She always rocked her natural hair, which made her such a beautiful woman. And then once she started mm-hmm. singing, it was just amazing. But her afro, man, should go down in history. She wore that afro, man.
Mm-hmm.
The only other person who wear afro as well as she did with the other two was Angela Davis and Cicely Tyson, when she did wear her afro when she was younger. That just made an imprint in my mind. That was Roberta Flack, and I smile when I think that. I just want to say that.
Right on. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, so I'm glad that we've given her a lot of love. Yeah. Let me catch this brother right here, Irv. Brother Kevin, how you doing, man?
Doing fine, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing well.
Great program, like always. Yeah, that brother, he just came. I'm going to have to pull it up myself. "Trying Times." I think Ron Carter was on there as bass.
Ron Carter on bass. Yes, sir. Ron Carter on bass.
I believe that he was on there. But, yeah, it's a great tune and a great message.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we are in trying times, brother.
Yes, we are.
So anyway, brother, take care. I'm going to get out of here and listen to the remainder of your show.
All right, my brother. I appreciate you, man. Right on, Kel.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Brothers and sisters, Roberta Flack, "Trying Times."
what the world is talking about. You got confusion all over the land. Mother against daughter, father against son, the whole thing is getting out of hand. But folks wouldn't have to suffer if there was more love for your brother. But these are trying times. Got the riots and the ghetto, and it's all around. A whole lot of things that's wrong is going down. I don't understand it. My point of view, I remember somebody said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And then folks wouldn't have to suffer.
Satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
People always talk about man's inhumanity to man. But what you're trying to do to make this a better land? Just pick up your paper, turn on your TV. You see a lot of demonstration for equality. But folks wouldn't have to suffer.
Roberta Flack, Trying Times. Thank you, my good brother, Brother Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. A BB for Hardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great day. Hope to see you on here on Wednesday. Peace, family.